work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Amen. So, as we're here this afternoon, as we have come, as God has brought us here by His grace, thankfully, just open your heart and get ready to receive the special word that God has for you today through our very own elder. So, without further ado, let's all make some noise, blow up the chat box, scream, make a reaction, do something as we welcome Elder Dylan. Woo!
Wow. Welcome everyone once again to First Love Church Delaware service. I'm excited to see all of you guys here. It's a blessing to be in church again on another Sunday. And when you come to church, you have to believe that there's a, I think I said this last week, but when you come to church, you have to believe truly that there's a reason why, God has you in this church service on this Sunday. You could be in so many other churches. You could even choose to just watch a live stream on YouTube. But God has brought you to this church. So you have to believe that there's a blessing here for you. There's something in the message for you, as you come and as you prepare yourself to be blessed by today's message. Amen. So let's just have a quick word of prayer as we are going into the service. Father, we thank you, God, for the lives of each and every person that you've brought here today in church. Lord, I pray, God, for each and every single person who's come today, God, that you allow us leave change, allow us to leave with a different level of understanding, God. May we leave and may something in us change. May we have a deeper understanding of your word. God, your word says in Ephesians chapter 1 that may the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. I pray, God, that truly our understanding would change after today's message, that our understanding on Anakazo, Lord, would change after today's message, God, that we'll become Anakazo men and women, that will become filled with the Anakazo spirit, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless us for coming, God, into your house this afternoon, that you'll keep us, that you'll keep your hand over us, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives and in our church. We thank you, God, for giving us a church. Lord, we thank you for giving us a church and for allowing us to be a part of your wonderful work. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. So yeah, like I said, welcome everyone once again. We've been spending the past couple of weeks, I think starting from last week, we've been talking about Anakazo. And I think actually not starting from last week, maybe the past 3 or 4 weeks now. So we're actually getting close to the end. We've been discussing Anakazo. And for those of you on who are shepherds, we were talking about doing even outreach at some point this summer. And one of the things I had mentioned about the outreach was, we should wait until we go through the Anakazo series before even doing outreach, because I think we've learned a lot and we're continuing to learn a lot. Last week's message was on how to practice Anakazo, right? And what does Anakazo mean? So for anyone who maybe doesn't know, Anakazo is the Greek word for the word compel, right? So if we can turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. It's a great story there. So all of us at the end of this series should know this story on the man who threw a great feast, or the man who threw a great party, and he invited many people. So if we can have Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Beautiful. The Bible says here, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them, or anakazo them, to come in. So anakazo simply means to compel, right? It means to necessitate, to drive, and to constrain. Yeah. So when you anakazo someone or something, you necessitate, you drive, or you can constrain them. I was listening to a message on anakazo yesterday, and the person who was preaching said that anakazo, that people who are very good at anakazo, or one group of people who is very good at anakazo, is mothers. And I was laughing because I was thinking about my mom, and she's very good at anakazo. It's like even when you don't want to do something, she can make you feel so bad about what you haven't done, or she can just persuade you in a way. It's like, this thing that this lady is saying, I should actually do it. Yeah, she has a way of being able to constrain you, to necessitate you, to make you feel like it's the one thing you need to do. And I'm sure many of our mothers are also like that. Our mothers have a way of being able to make you feel like this thing you are doing or this decision you've taken, it's just so wrong. You need to change it. So, you know, I was laughing about that because I think, and I'm sure many of you can relate, you know, mothers are people who are very good at anakazo. But yeah, so we've been studying how to practice anakazo. That is the definition of anakazo. Simply just means to compel someone, right? It means to necessitate, to drive, or to constrain. And last week we talked about actually practically how to practice anakazo, right? I gave about six steps or six things that an anakazo man does, right? So from last week's message, this is just a recap for anybody who wasn't here last week. But it says, you know, an anakazo man does not keep to himself. You know, an anakazo man does not keep to himself. And I said that, you know, you cannot stay quiet and keep to yourselves and be somebody who's an anakazo man. Yeah. An anakazo man influences and affects many people. An anakazo man prepares himself and the house. You know, I talked about how you know, as we are preparing ourselves as a church, right? As we are preparing ourselves as a church to be a 50-person church, you have to say amen. To be a 50-person church, right? As we are preparing ourselves as a church, you have to also prepare yourself. Like, you have to also prepare yourself. You are also a house. The Bible says that you are also the temple of God. So it is important to prepare yourself as we are preparing the house of God. A anakazo man is not prepared to have an empty meeting. A anakazo man is not prepared to cancel his service. Yeah, you know, last week I said that there would never be a Sunday where we cancel the service. Like, it would never happen. We can get on here one Sunday, and it can be me and Jody, and we will have a full service. We'll preach, do everything. It'll be a full service. We cannot cancel our service. And then the last thing about an anakazo man from last week is an anakazo man is not overcome by people's excuses. Yeah, and we read through the story in Luke chapter 14. And we read the three excuses that the people gave. You know, the first excuse was about testing oxen at night. The second excuse was about somebody who just got married, so he couldn't come to the party. And then the last excuse was about somebody who bought land, and he was now about to go and see his land. And we actually debunked all three excuses. And, you know, one thing that we talked about last week was that many people's excuses are lies. Most people's excuses as to why they can't come to church, why they can't come to center, is actually a lie. Some people are being honest, yes, but most of the time, they're not being honest with you, or they are using what it is as an excuse, but they can overcome it. Yeah, especially in this day and this era of life where we have Zoom services, you can be in your car, you can be somewhere and just tap a link and join church. So really, really, most people don't have excuses as to why they can't come to church. Even when we go back to the physical church this fall, most people who will give us an excuse, you can provide them a Zoom link because they can still join. There's people who go to work and they put in AirPods and they are in Zoom meetings. So if somebody tells you, oh, I work on Sundays, that's why I can't come to church, you have to also dispute that because they can put in an AirPod and join church with their AirPod on the Zoom meeting. Amen. So the title or what we are moving into for today's message is called How to Practice Anakazo Part 2. Yeah, How to Practice Anakazo Part 2, right? So if we can go back to Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, please. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. You know, if you don't know any Bible story after this series, you should at least be able to tell someone, yeah, I know the story in Luke 14 of a man who threw a feast or threw a party and he invited many people and people didn't come. You also know that story. So Luke 14, verse 23, if we can have it projected. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. If we don't have it, I can read it. Okay. I can read it. Luke 14 and verse 23. If you could please turn your Bibles there. So the Bible says here that, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. So the first thing about practicing anakazo is that to practice anakazo, you must become a real Christian. A real Christian witnesses to others. A real Christian is somebody who speaks to others about their salvation. You see, we cannot call ourselves real Christians and it's like we just keep the message to ourselves. or we just keep God to ourselves. No, God, we must preach the message to others. And when you read the Bible, the last words of Jesus to us, the Christians, the people who call ourselves Christians, who are left here, the last words of Jesus Christ to us is to go out into the world and make disciples. So to make a disciple means that you must make somebody like you. You must have, you know, in our church, we have a term what we call alos. Alos means another of the same kind. So when you are a real Christian, you must go out and you must find others like you and bring them in. You must find people who maybe are not like you and also bring them in. Yeah, you must be able to witness to somebody who doesn't look like you. That is what will make you a real Christian. Yeah, your real Christian is not your attendance in church, or your Christianity is not defined by your service to God, so how much you're doing in church. Like, there are some people who are so busy in church, it's like they can't do anything else because church consumes their life. That doesn't define your Christianity. What defines your Christianity is your ability to say something to another person about the God that you say you love, about the God that you say has created you, has created the world. I mean, if you believe he's done all these great things, why would you just want to keep it to yourself? If you read in Mark chapter 16, I don't think we have this verse, but Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says, and these are the last words of Jesus Christ. So as Jesus was about to be crucified, as the Jews were about to tell Pontius Pilate to kill him, one of his last statements he made to us, the Christians, was go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Yeah, go into all the world. Now, see, some of us may not be able to go into all the world. Some of us may not be able to go to Panama or go to Colombia or go to Uruguay or go to Germany or go to Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, all these countries, some of us may not be able to go, but you can also see the go into all the world as what is your world? Yeah, what is your world? Your world may be the city that you live in, maybe the college campus that you are on. You know, I remember when I was in college on my school's campus, my school is fairly big. We have Northwest, East, and South campus. And I told my pastor one Sunday, he was preaching this on this particular scripture. And I told him one Sunday, I said, oh, you know, like, I don't think I'm called to go to South Africa, or I don't think I'm called to go to Australia. I mean, how many of you here today feel like you're called to go to Australia? Let me see by a wave to go and preach and to go and open it. Let me see by a wave of hands. Yeah, no, yeah, nobody's raising their hands. Mercy, Lord. But you see, I also said the same. And then I remember my pastor told me that, but on campus, there's Northwest, East, and South. That is your world. So you should be able to do something there. The Northwest, East, and South campus, the way the campus has been broken up, you should be able to start a Bible study on East campus and then a Bible study on North campus. And it's like the two don't interact. It's like they're functioning by themselves. You see, all of us have a world. All of us have somewhere that we live. All of us have people that we interact with. Most of us are in college, or we're going to college this fall for the first time. That is going to be our new world. Like the college campus, you know, recently I was thinking a college campus is designed to have everything you need right there, whatever you may need or within the vicinity of it. That's why some schools have a college town. Everything is in the vicinity of it. And the Bible says that we must go out into all the world. So what is your world? Yeah, each of us must be able to identify what our world is. Our world may not be South Africa or Johannesburg or Kenya, but your world may be Philadelphia, or your world may be your school's campus. You see, and you must be able to go out into that world. If it's your school's campus, you must be able to go out there. Honestly, for some of us, our world is our dorm building, and we must be able to say something to somebody in the building. We must be able to speak to somebody in the building, but you cannot call yourself a serious Christian. You're doing your quiet time every day. Every day we look in the quiet time group, you send your green check, everything, but then you walk past people in the dorm every day. Maybe you have a roommate who's a complete stranger. You don't say a word to them. Or you walk past people in the student center every day. I mean, it's like you haven't said a word to anyone. You've been on campus for 9 months. Spring semester is ending. You're going back home to live with your family. And you've gone a whole school year and you haven't said a word to a single person about Christ. I mean, are you really a Christian? You know, the Bible says that after some time, we must be able to desire the sincere the sincere meat of the word. Yeah, after some time, you must grow to a place where you can share. Hebrews chapter 11. After some time, you must grow to a place where you can share the word of God with others. That is the true sign that you are growing. Yeah, the true sign of your growth in Christianity isn't your service, isn't your attendance in church. It isn't everything you are doing. The true sign of your growth in Christianity is your ability to say something to another person, is your ability to bring someone to church. Yeah, even if it's just an invitation. You see, there's something about an invitation alone. Yeah, there's something about when you read this story in Luke 14, it was invitations. Yeah, these were all invitations. He had it. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, I think if we have the scripture to project, Luke chapter 14, verse 20. I think we can share verse 20 or 19. One of the verses, we'll find it. But it says that he had many verses. Luke chapter 14, verse 20. Try verse 19, maybe. Verse 17. I think it's in verse 17, actually. Yeah, it says that, tell those who had been invited. Yeah, so you see, it was mostly by invitations. These were people who he had invited to his party. They were not people who he had on a casual even yet. He wasn't people who he had forced. Many of us don't invite anyone to church. Mercy, Lord. Or we don't invite anyone to center meeting. Or we don't invite anyone to impartation. And then you call yourself a real Christian. Something is missing. Yeah, it's like something is missing. It's like when you have a child or when you have a baby and the baby is developing, when you have a child or when you have a baby, for those of you who are nurses, you know, some of you can help. Most of you. For those of you who are nurses, Jody, Patricia, Liz, you know, when you have a baby, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you have a baby, I think at a point in the development, it's like the baby should be able to sit up by itself, not walk yet, but should just be able to sit up without assistance. And at a certain place, the baby should be able to walk or I don't know the plan, you know, I'm not a nurse, but I think at some point the baby should be able to crawl and then sit up without assistance and then walk. But you see, at some point for some babies, something can go wrong or some part of the plan, some part of the normal growth process for the child, something can be off. Yeah. And it's like for some of us, we call ourselves Christian, but something is off. It's like we pray, we read our Bibles, we listen to mess. We even come to church. We even watch center leaders, but we don't invite people to church. We don't invite people to center. We don't invite people to impartation. Just an invitation. We can't speak to someone about Christ. Something is off. It's like you're developing. You look like you're growing, but something is missing. Something is actually, there's an empty spot somewhere. You know, one of the people that I see that, you know, I'm actually proud of is someone like Elizabeth, you know, for example. You know, she has a list of people that she invites to church and to center and to impartation. And it's like, as she's working on the list, people are being invited. People, it's like, I was thinking about it this morning. It's like, there's a plan for each person. I was actually thinking about it and I was like, you know, it's actually quite serious. So you see, as people, I think I mentioned this before, but it's like, as you see our church is growing, maybe even if our church grows by four, as you see that the church has grown by four, each of those four people, there is a plan. There's some people who don't know it, but they are being invited to church next week, Sunday, just because Jody is singing. Like we've identified that we won't want to bring her today. We want to bring her the next time Jody is singing. Yeah, and it is actually a sign of growth. As you are working or as you are being that intentional about what you are doing, it is a sign that you are growing in your walk. Yeah, what most people, I think a lot of people get it mixed up or they think they put other things above other things. You know, the Bible says that God, that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks inside the heart. So man, human beings, all of us, we judge people based on what we see. So when we see somebody very busy in the church, when we see somebody doing a lot of things in the church, we judge it based on that, or we judge their Christianity based on that. But the Bible says that God looks in the heart. So God is looking in all of our hearts. He sees what is in our heart, right? He sees the true us. He sees what we really are. Yeah, so when you don't pray for a week, he sees what's in your heart. There's some people who don't pray for a week, and it's like maybe it's okay. Or they think like, oh, God knows my heart. But no, God knows your heart. He knows that you should be praying. He knows that you should be praying with what's in your heart. You can't say that you're a Christian, you've gone 7 days and you haven't prayed. Yeah, and maybe I should just say this, you know, maybe I feel like this is something I should just say. But you see, when you find yourself finding it very difficult to pray, one of the things that you can do to help yourself is set strategic time. Like pick a time and say the next 15 minutes, I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to be on my phone. Don't pick big drastic times and say 2 hours, I need to pray for it. Just say for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to pray. Or for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to pray. Because if you don't become intentional like that, you can go 3 months and you haven't prayed. This week, I was talking to someone and he was telling me that he hasn't prayed. Like what I mean by pray is like without a group. So he's prayed in church. Maybe he joins impartation, he'll pray. Maybe in center, they're praying for people, he'll join. But to say that like he has in his room or in his car, just one-on-one with God, he told me he hasn't prayed like that for 3 months. And it's a challenge. 3 months, he hasn't prayed by himself once. It's a, now he's trying to start. And what I told him was the same thing I'm telling you now. Set time. If it's 5 minutes, if it's 10 minutes, set the time. You know, somebody told me one time, set alarms even. Set an alarm. Most of us, we have alarms. Set an alarm and say that these next 5 minutes are just for prayer. Yeah, or you can easily go 3 months and God hasn't heard your voice one-on-one for 3 straight months. Mercy, Lord. Yeah, so back to Anakazo. That one was just something for the side. But yeah, so the mark of real Christianity is your ability to witness. Yeah, the mark of being a real Christian is your ability to witness. And see, the message of Anakazo, or this topic of Anakazo, is really a message about others. Yeah, it's really a message about others. As we have found ourselves in church, a lot of us have found ourselves, we're doing things, you know, we're involved in church, we're doing a lot of things in church now. If you were able to join us for America's Got Talent this past Friday, you know, you would have saw some familiar faces being featured. It's like, we're all here, we're all happy, we're all enjoying church, right? But there are others out there who don't have church. Yeah, there are others. Most people don't have a church to go to. Most people don't have a relationship with a church. Most people don't have this. Yeah, let me just say it clearly, I guess. Most people don't have this. This thing that we call a church, that is like a church family. We get on impartation, we text. Most people don't have this. Yeah, I can say it. You know, I was not born into this church. I was not raised into this church. I was going to other churches for most of my life until I was maybe 16 or 17. And I can tell you for a fact, this church that we have is very uncommon. Yeah, I can tell you for a fact. Most churches, the only interaction between people is Sunday or Saturday. It's like, oh, we have choir rehearsal on Saturday, so we interact. And then church on Sunday, so we interact. But to say that, like Tuesday night, we have impartation. There was a point in time last year in the fall when I was thinking to myself one day, like we have something for church every day. Like I said, Monday, we have flow. Tuesday, impartation. There was a point in time, every branch, we would pray for profit. So in Delaware, our night was Wednesday night. So I would join First Love Hanover and we would pray for profit. And the prayer for profit was a 6-hour prayer for profit. It wasn't like a 1-hour prayer for profit. It was 6 hours on Wednesday night, we'll pray for profit. So Monday flow, Tuesday impartation, Wednesday prayer for profit, Thursday night, or Wednesday or Thursday night, you might have center and then prayer for profit. Thursday night or Friday early morning, we have flow prayer meetings as well. I mean, the whole week was packed. I think the only free night I saw sometimes was maybe Friday night. Yeah, the whole week was packed with something for church. It's not common. And you see, most people want something like this. Most people would benefit for something like this. How, by a raise of hands, or maybe you can just give me a wave, has being in a church that's this close-knit or that's this tight or that's this active and engaging, give me a wave if it's changed something in your life for the better, if it's blessed you for the better, if it's helped you, huh? It's blessed most of us for the better by being in something that's disengaging. And you see, most churches don't have this. Most people want something like this. Most people want this. They want a chance to do something in the house of God. They want something. They want an opportunity to serve God. And that's why I said that the message on Anakazo is a message about others. And we have to reach out to people who don't just look like us. Yeah, we have to reach out to people who maybe don't make us feel the most comfortable. Because the Bible says in Mark 16, that verse that we read in Mark chapter 16, I don't think we have it, but in Mark 16, that verse we read, it says that we must go out and preach to all creation. Like we must go out and preach to all creation. We must talk to all creation, which means not just people who are Ghanaian, mercy, Lord, or not just people who are from West Africa, are not just people who are Black. Yeah, it says all creation. So anybody of any skin color, of any ethnicity, we must talk to. You know, I was on a shepherd's meeting maybe a few weeks ago, and I myself, you know, I was talking and I made a point as I was talking, and I said that, oh, you know, maybe if you're feeling nervous or you're feeling shy about talking to somebody, you know, who maybe you don't know, it's a stranger, maybe first you should gravitate towards Africans first. I said it. Yeah, I gave that advice. And then I remember Jody corrected me and she said that, no, we should talk to anybody. I think it was right after we came back from Sandy Cove. I remember Jody, she said, you know, we should talk to anybody. And it's good. I agree. We should talk to anybody. Anybody who doesn't necessarily look like us. Because why is it that only Ghanaians make us feel comfortable? Mercy. Or why is it that only somebody who maybe is from West Africa will make us feel comfortable? Yeah, maybe that's actually a sign that something is wrong with us. Yeah, like something, if only somebody from West Africa would make you feel comfortable, what is wrong with you actually? Yeah, something is wrong with us that we must ask ourselves, or we must find out what is wrong with us. So as we're continuing, I wanted to give us very briefly four things we must remember about others. Like I said, Anakazo is about others. The message of Anakazo is about others. So four things you and I must remember about others. John chapter 4, verse 25. There's a story there in the book of John chapter 4 and verse 25. I believe John chapter 4, verse 25. The Bible says, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Verse 26. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Verse 27. Just then his disciples turned and were surprised to find him talking to a woman. But no one asks, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Yeah, so the first thing we must remember about others is that others need Christ. Yeah, other people need Christ. The story here says that the others came out of the town and made their way toward him. There are some people who need to make their way towards Christ. There are some people who have gone so far from Christ, who are living lives so far away from Christ, that they need to make their way back to Christ. Yeah, and I could think of some people that even I personally know who maybe grew up in church with me, or maybe not this church, but another church. Like, they grew up in church. Their parents are serious church people. But now, when I look at their lives today, they've made their life so far away from Christ, they need to make their way back. Like, you can look, and I'm sure we know some people like that who have gone so far away from Christ, who have pulled themselves so far away from Christ that it's like we are the ones who call ourselves Christians. We need to help them make their way back. Or maybe we don't know who they are. Maybe they're strangers to us today. We still need to help them. They need to be helped to be found, to find Christ again. Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that many of us sometimes do, and we don't realize it, is like when we see somebody that we know living a life that maybe isn't the most God-fearing, I guess that's the word. Yeah, when we see someone living a life that maybe isn't the most God-fearing, it's like we want to almost retreat, or almost give them their space, or we don't want anything to do with them. We don't want to associate with them. But that's not what the Bible calls us to do. The Bible says we must talk to them. We must relate with them. People should be able to look at your life. Patricia, Elizabeth, people should be able to look at your life and should be able to see that it's like you are a Christian. And this thing that we call Christianity is so nice, or it's so enjoyable that I also want to be a part. Somebody who doesn't interact with God at all, doesn't go to church at all, and it's like they just don't involve themselves with church things at all. Or maybe they've had bad experiences in church. You know, there was somebody who used to come to our church, but she moved. I don't know if you guys remember her, Dell. She used to come to our church, but she moved. When she moved, you know, one of the things that she told me as she was moving, she no longer goes to our church, but she goes to another church. One of the things she told me as she was moving was that, you know, she had some bad experiences with churches in the past, where maybe like the pastor wasn't the most honest person or wasn't the most righteous person or whatever. And she told me that when she started coming to this church and she would come to impartation or she would join Flow and she would listen to prophet preach and things, it changed the way she viewed pastors. Like coming, and she wasn't with us for very long. I think maybe 3-4 months, but she said it changed the way she viewed pastors and it changed the way she viewed churches. Yeah, it changed her perspective. She's still in First Love. She just goes to another First Love branch. She told me that it changed how she views pastors, or it changed how she viewed churches, because it's like when she came here, she saw that, wow, this church is actually a church. Like, it changed her negative experience. And sometimes that's what some people need to find God, is they need to have a positive experience with the church. They need to have a good experience in church to help them to find God. And we must be the ones to give that to them. Yeah, somebody told me once that if you want your church to grow, or if we want our church to grow, we must make it attractive. And I think First Love North America has done a great job of making the overall church attractive to people. So we must make this branch attractive. Like, this branch must be attractive to somebody so that we can have more testimonies like Dell's. Amen. The next thing that we must remember about others, you and I must remember about others, comes from John chapter 10 and verse 16. John chapter 10 and verse 16. I'm being blessed by the message. I'm being blessed by the message. I hope you are as well. But John 10, 16. The Bible says, and other sheep I have. These are the words of Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. So the other thing, the next thing we must remember about others, right? And I want us to be clear that the Anakazu message is a message about others, other people we don't know, is others need a shepherd. Yeah, other people need a shepherd. Yeah, for some of us, our shepherd has changed our life. I can say for myself, I wouldn't be sitting here right now, this Sunday, June 27th at 1:14 in the afternoon, preaching if it wasn't for my shepherd. And I'm sure some of us have testimonies like that of what their shepherd has been able to do for their life, and their shepherd being a blessing for them, right? And the Bible says that, what Jesus said in the Bible, other sheep I have. Like, other sheep I have means that there's other people who need to have a shepherd. There's other people who need to have someone to guide them. There's other people who need to have someone who can talk to them, who can help them make positive decisions. Even if, honestly, there's other people who need to have somebody praying for them. Yeah, there's other people every week. You know, maybe I'll just say this, you know, every week there's some people in this church, or honestly, well, yeah, most of the church, who I pray for regularly every week. And other people need to have something like that. It's like when you are there, maybe you haven't prayed for yourself all week. This week was a bad week with your quiet time. You didn't send any green checks to the group chat. This week, you didn't pray at all for yourself. I have prayed for you all week. I have prayed. I know. And I talked to some of you, or maybe like, I know what's going on in your lives. Some of you don't know. Sometimes like when I'm talking to you or when I'm asking you things, maybe it's like, oh, Elder Dylan is just trying to make aimless conversation. But it's not aimless conversation. I write down the things that you tell me. And then when I'm praying throughout the week, I pray about those things. Because it's like, I can't pray for you about nothing. I have to have something that you told me to pray about. So it's like when we're talking, when you tell me, oh, I'm looking for a job, or I'm going to start looking for a job, or school this, then I remember, or I write it down so I don't forget later. And then I pray about it throughout the week. Because it's like, that is the role of a shepherd. And other people need to have that kind of person in their life as well. Some people are out here and they are lost. It's like no one is praying for them. They aren't praying for themselves. They are just moving through. Like, life for them is like luck and chance. It's like today, if I go to work today and make it back home, it's just chance, really. That's really what has brought me back home, is just chance. No prayers, no nothing, just chance. And what we need is someone like that. Other people need to have someone in their life who they can speak to, who they can talk to about their problems, who even if they're not at a place yet, because it's not every sheep, right, who will talk to you about their deepest, darkest problems. Not every sheep who would do that, but they just need somebody who is interceding on their behalf, who is praying on their behalf. It's like when you say maybe you've gone to a job interview and you've prayed. Somebody else has also prayed for you. And the Bible says, Jeremiah 3:15. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says that, then I will give you shepherds. So if God has given you someone, right, and the person is interceding on your behalf, don't you think that person can also get to the ear of God fast? Or they can also reach God's, maybe they can even just reach heaven fast. You know, sometimes when recently I was interviewing for a job and I text my shepherd the day of the interview and I told him, oh, I have a job interview today. Yeah, I just to tell him I have a job interview today, because I knew he could pray for me. Yeah, he could pray for me and something would be said. Even though I prayed for myself, my shepherd praying for me is different than me praying for myself, because the Bible says that God is the one who gives you. And it says that he gives you shepherds, what? After my own heart. So if God gives you a shepherd, if God gives you somebody who you can actually say, oh, this person is my shepherd, then it must show them. Number one, what it means is that that person is somebody who is after God's own heart. Yeah, that's the first thing it means. So if you have a shepherd, it means that the person is after God's own heart. It also means that the person's responsibility is to lead you with knowledge and understanding. You know, when Jody was doing the intro today, she read a verse from Ephesians that says that I've given some pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles to what? To perfect or to edify the saints. It's like to make the saints perfect in another version, right? So the role of a teacher or a shepherd or a pastor is to make the saints perfect. Who is the saint? You. We are the saints. Yeah, that's us. We are the saints. And the role of the shepherd is to make us better. Amen. And the next thing we must remember, I see that time is fast spent. The next thing that we must remember about others comes from Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, as we move quickly, says, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns. Yeah. So the next thing we must remember about others is others must hear the message also. Yeah. Like this message on Anakazo, or this message, or the message I preached in the past, you know, it must be heard by other people. Other people must hear it. This week, we're having center meeting on Wednesday night, and we are, you know, titling it a new center name that we'll announce during announcement time today. But other people must hear the center message. There are some people who don't attend our center who must hear the center message. The Bible says here that I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns. There are other campuses who need to hear about the message. There are some college campuses who in Philly who don't have a center on it. Who don't have a First Love Bible study, don't have anything for people who are Christians to really interact with. There are many Christians who have backslidden because fellowship has been lost. Like in-person fellowship has been lost. And it's our job as we are headed back on campus, or as we're going back in the fall, to, you know, create that atmosphere on some of our campuses, right? It is our job to create that atmosphere, to give Christians, people who actually call themselves a Christian, a atmosphere of fellowship. That's what the Bible says. Like, do not negate the assembly of the brethren. Like, don't forsake it. Don't throw it to the side. Don't think that we can do Zoom forever. Zoom is a nice medium. It's been a blessing to have Zoom, so that, you know, it's like when this pandemic has come, we can still do church and we can learn how to do church online. It's been a blessing, but this cannot be our church forever. Yeah, this cannot be our church forever. We must get back to the in-person, because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren, like coming together as a church. The Bible tells us to not forsake that. Amen. And then the last thing that we must remember about others, the very last thing, is other people have issues, or others have issues. It comes from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, not looking to your own interest. Yeah, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Yeah, to the interest of others. How many of us spend all week, we've just worried about our interest, or we've just spent all week worried about the things that we have been worried about? the things that maybe affect our problems, our issues, our dilemmas, the things we're thinking about what to do. No, but if you are a real Christian, that's why I'm not saying a real shepherd. I'm saying a real Christian. You see, if you are a real Christian, it says that you must look to the interest of others. What are the things that are going to interest others? Other people have real issues. Have you checked on someone this week? As we are all here today in church, I mean, like, do we check on each other throughout the week? Do we know what's going on in each other's lives? Not church. Yeah, recently, or maybe a few weeks ago, somebody told me that, oh, some people feel like, you know, and I'll say this because it's us here, right? It's our church. Someone told me that, oh, some people feel like you only talk to them, talking about myself, you only talk to them when it's about church. And I felt very sad. Yeah, if I'll be honest, I was very sad. And the reason I was sad is because, number one, that would obviously not be my intention to do it deliberately or to make it seem as if this person is only good for me so I can use them for church. But when it comes to their life, it's like, I could care less. Number one, that was the reason why I was sad. But then number two, also because that's how somebody really feels. Now it becomes an issue for somebody. It's like, my elder only needs me for church things. Yeah, but the Bible tells us here that we must be of the interest of others. Yeah, so you have to become intentional. Just as you know, somebody told me that, and I've tried to change it or be more intentional about it. You must also be like that with your people, with your church member. I'm sorry, with your sheep. If we have a center, if you have a list of people you are working on bringing to church, don't just text them about church, Liz. Don't just text them about center or text them about bringing them together. No, text them about, oh, how's life? What's going on? Like, just have a talk with them, have a conversation with them. And you see, this thing about talking to people about what's really happening in their life, and not just, I need you to come to Bible study, I need you to come to church. This is what will grow our church. This is the key to actually growing our church, is making people feel like, or actually taking a genuine care for people. Let's read something. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. So this is Paul, and Paul is talking about his son Timothy, right? Talking about Timothy. So Paul is in prison. The apostle Paul here in this chapter in the Bible, he's in prison, and he's left Timothy in charge of the church. Timothy is now the pastor, the apostle of the church. And Paul is saying, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Wow. Genuine concern for your welfare. People need someone to show genuine concern for their welfare. Yeah, genuine concern for how are you doing? It's not just about church or about, oh, I need you to come to Bible study. We're having impartation. Can you come? See, when you only text me, imagine, put yourself in their shoes. If you only text me when you're having Bible study on Wednesday night, why would I even mind you? At a point, it's like, I'm going to stop even responding to their text messages. And it's a mistake I have personally made, where it's like, I have some people, I want them to come to church, and I'm texting them about church, texting them about church, texting them about church. Next thing I know, my messages are green. Because it's like, all you do is text me about church, or all you do is text me about center, or all you do is text me about impart. I mean, at a point, it's like, this guy just wants me to come, or just wants to use me for his purpose. So they block you. They just block you, go about their life, no worries, no stress, because at no point in the process did you show a genuine concern for them. Showing the genuine concern is what will bring them to church. Yeah, it says that for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Wow. Yeah, I'm being blessed by this verse. For everyone looks out for their own interests. Most of us only care about our own interests, mercy, but not those of Jesus Christ. The interest of Jesus Christ is others, is the other people. I think we have verse 22 as well. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Amen. So yeah, I want to encourage us to, you know, be genuinely concerned with others. Yeah, I believe that this key is really the key to church growth. If you ask me, is to show a genuine concern for people. What brought me into this church? What made me want to stay connected to this church? You know, my whole family, my whole family is not in this church. I don't have a single person in my family who attends this church. My mom, my brother, nobody goes to this church. I'm the only person in who goes to this church. And the reason why I believe I'm still in this church is because I had someone show genuine concern for me. Not just, oh, have you read your Bible? Are you coming to midweek service? No, I had someone talk to me about the problems in my life. Talk to me about the relationship with my parents that I had. Talk with me about school. Talk with me about life. I had someone who would talk to me about girls, mercy. I had someone who would talk to me about real issues, and it made an attachment to him. It made an attachment to the church because someone actually cared about me. So I wanted to encourage us to care about others genuinely, because if we go back to verse 20 and verse 21 very quickly as we close, it says, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. I want us to be able to show genuine concern for each other, but also the others, the people on our list, the Project 10s that we have. I want us to be able to show genuine concern for them. Amen. So let's just have a quick moment of prayer. Pray for yourself, wherever you are. Just take a moment and pray for yourself. Pray for a heart like Timothy, right? Pray for a heart that you'll be like somebody who will care for others, that you'll be like somebody. Let's just take the next 3 minutes and pray. If we can have a prayer soundtrack, I don't know if we can have a prayer soundtrack or one of the songs be playing, but just take 3 minutes and pray for yourself, right? Pray for yourself that you'll be like Timothy. Pray for yourself that you'll be blessed with the spirit to genuinely care for others, that you'll be blessed with an anakazo spirit. Let's just take the next 3 minutes and pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to keep us, you'll continue to guide us, Lord. Help us, Father God. I pray, God, that you will help us, Lord. Help us, oh God, to become like those, oh God, to become like Timothy, God. Help us, God. Bless me with a heart like Timothy, God. Bless everyone here today with a heart to genuinely care for others. Yes, Bashanama. Yes, God. Yes, God. Make us like Timothy, God. Give us a heart to care for others. Give us a heart to genuinely care for others. Basayana ma kariba baba la masi kariba. Basi kariba basi yana baba je kariba ba. Le baba she kariba ba je ma je kariba ba. Be kariba she kariba ba se kariba ba. Yes, God. Basi kariba ba se kariba ba. Yes, 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 Lord. Change my heart, Lord. Change my heart. May I not just be worried about myself and my life and my own interests, but God, help me to be worried about others. Give me the heart of a shepherd. Give me the heart of a shepherd. Basa kare baba, se kare baba. Basa yaraba, kare baba, se kare baba. Le baba, se kare baba, le baba, kare baba, kare baba, kare baba, kare baba, kare baba. Le baba, kare baba, malama, bala baba. Kare baba, se yaraba, baba, raraba. Yes, God. Yes, God. Bashikare Baba. Yes, we thank you, God. We are giving you thanks. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are giving you thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bashikare Baba. Sikare Baba. Le Baba. Kare Baba. Siyanama. Bala ba. Bala ba. Bala ba. Yes, God. We are thankful. Thank you, God. 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 Bashikare Baba. Malaraba. Balababa, Radaba, Karima, Sianama, Karibaba, Karibaba, Balaba, Sianama, Karibaba, Shikaribaba, Radaba, yes, God, we are thanking you, God. Just pray one more minute, just pray for your heart for the last minute. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen. 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 Father, we thank you for keeping us. We thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, we thank you for the message on anakazo. We thank you, Lord, for the message to about others, God. We pray, God, that as we've heard this message today, that let it be in our heart, oh God. Let this message stay in our heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, that any plans of the enemy, any plans of the wicked one, the devil, Lord, to come and remove this message from our heart, I cancel it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that today's message will change us, that today's message will help us, God, that today's message will help to change the way we relate with one another and with others, God. I pray, God, for a heart like Timothy, God. I pray, God, for Elizabeth, for Patricia, for Jody, for Rachel, for myself, Lord. I pray that we'll become people who have hearts like others, God, hearts like Timothy, to care about others, God, to have a genuine concern for their welfare, a genuine concern for how they are doing. Lord, I pray that you will keep us, that you will help us on this path, God, this path to become shepherds, this path to become stronger Christians. Lord, your word says that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. As we are seeking you diligently, God, day after day, I pray, God, that you will reward us in our personal lives, reward us in our finances, reward us in our academics, reward us in our churches. God, reward us, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise and we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. So at this time, you know, we have a very special person in the church. I want to, you know, if you